Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2. Available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Well, imagine you're a mother of five with 25 years of happy marriage under your belt when your husband is diagnosed with AIDS, the result of his secret homosexual life. Your husband dies and you're left to deal with the grief. Now, imagine then that 3 months after your husband's death, your 18-year-old son is killed in a car accident. I mean, how do you cope? Now imagine you're beginning to recover, it's been a few years, and your daughter, a well-known actress, begins a very public lesbian affair. How do you come through the grief, the public exposure of that kind of string of events? Well, that's Nancy Hayes's story, and she joins us now. And Nancy, it's great to have you on Open House. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Sheridan. When you say those things, they sound hard. It makes my heart beat fast just to hear them when they're talked about all in one sentence like that.
Well, it made my heart beat fast when I was reading through the book and just, I mean, I haven't even mentioned half of what you've been through in that intro. You lost a child shortly after birth. You lost your daughter Susan last year to brain cancer. I don't know how you're still standing, actually. How are you still standing?
You know, there's a song that Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir sings here. It says, Jesus, you are the source of my strength. You are the strength of my life. And that's not just a song to me. Every time I play that song, I've got my hands in the air and I'm singing out the window. If I'm in the car, I'm shouting out the window. Mm-hmm. You are the source of my strength. You're the strength of my life. That's the only way any of us get through the difficult time. I mean, it really is. It's not a cliche. It's the truth.
Yeah. Well, you've proved that. Describe just how you felt that day when the results came back from the doctor about your husband, Don.
Well, this is almost 25 years ago, Sheridan, so we didn't know anything about AIDS. In fact, the doctors hardly knew anything about AIDS. There had been one article in the New York Times about a month before he died. So I had read the article because so many of the things in the article seemed to click with his physical symptoms. But it was the furthest thing from my mind. Never in a million years would have thought that my husband was having homosexual affairs. We were a perfect Christian family. Mm. So it was such a shock that I didn't even deal with it. I heard the words. I was furious because I realized that he had lived a double life and totally betrayed us and lived a lie for most of our marriage, probably. And I told my children what it meant if he was dying of AIDS, and then we never talked about it. For almost 10 years, we never talked about it, Sheridan. Yeah. So that's how we dealt with it. We didn't deal with it. Yeah. We didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
It was shameful and embarrassing and humiliating, and there was no place that I knew to go for help.
Yeah. And some would ask how a secret like that could be kept from you for 25 years of marriage, and I guess that issue of not talking about it, that was a part of your family upbringing to some degree, wasn't it?
It was, and I talk about that in the book, as you know, that I say I was a perfect candidate for a wife, for a man with a secret life, because my father had a secret life. We didn't talk about things in our family, and I have heard so many comments from people when they read the book, they'll say, that was just like our family. We never talked about anything either. So a lot of families keep secrets. But the other thing is that even though that was 25 years ago and homosexuality was certainly hidden for the most part, even today I will talk to families and they will say, I talked to a woman a few weeks ago. She'd been married 25 years also, and her husband just told her that he was having homosexual affairs and she didn't know anything about it. So if you're not looking for it, it can be a real surprise. If it's the furthest thing from your mind, you don't even entertain the thought that it's a possibility.
Yeah. Nancy, were you worried about being HIV positive yourself?
Not right then. Because the doctors didn't even know much about AIDS, they didn't even suggest that I get tested. I mean, that's the astounding thing, really. A few years later, I was tested, and I believe really it's a miracle that I guess God has saved me so I can talk about it, Sharon.
Yeah.
Because I was not infected at all.
Well, it's a few years. I'm jumping into your story a few years later now because there's so much in your story. I mean, people have to read the book to get the whole thing. But
yes, please.
But then later on, when your daughter, the well-known actress Anne Heche, began her relationship with Ellen DeGeneres. It was an international media story. Everybody knew about it. Certainly here in Australia, we knew all about it. Describe your feelings when that went public.
Oh, well, I knew that now we were going to have to deal with it. It had been so secret before, and now it was totally public, and I couldn't hide. I couldn't hide anymore. I didn't handle it very well. Once again, I didn't know there were any resources. I didn't know there would be any help for families. And so I think one of the subtitles of my book says The Transformation of My Heart. It was that process that took me in the process of beginning to deal with the issue of homosexuality in my family as a Christian family, going from a place of fear and anger and confusion about homosexuality and learning through Scripture. And God began to show me His Word and what His heart was for me, not for somebody else. I think that was the biggest thing for me, Sheridan, is that I learned that this was a spiritual journey for me. It wasn't about trying to change my daughter or anybody else, and that God was going to be doing something in my heart. And it still has been over the years. I mean, that was 10 years ago for me, and it's been over the years that He has begun to change my heart and heal my heart. And I went from a place of, when my husband died, I said, I will never even say the word homosexual again. And I was so hurt and furious. So now here I am, clear at the other end of the spectrum, speaking out, really being an advocate to show love and respect for individuals in the gay community. So I've had a long journey and a big heart transformation.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to Nancy Haish on Open House tonight, and we'll be podcasting this interview via the openhouse.net.au website. What's your relationship with Anne like now, Nancy? Has she read the book?
I don't know if she's read the book. Yeah. We have what I call a pretty typical mother-daughter relationship. We have some great connections. And in fact, there's a chapter in the book where I go through these times of we connect and we have a great time, and then we're totally disconnected, and then we connect again, and then we're disconnected. And so we have some highs and lows and ups and downs and ins and outs. And we have not an extremely close relationship, but it's one that we're working on always, which, again, I think is pretty typical. Mother-daughter relationships are pretty tricky.
Work in progress.
A work in progress.
You talk about the book being the story of the transformation of your own heart. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, in the book, you're very open, and I think this is why it's going to be such a helpful tool for so many people, and even you sharing it now. You describe some of your own lifestyle choices after your husband's death. I mean, we could say that you yourself went looking for love in all the wrong places after that.
Yes, I did. And obviously, I didn't make good choices. They were some of the worst decisions of my life. However, God uses them, and I think this is part of the wonder of God's redemptive grace, is that He can redeem the bad choices we make also, so that those decisions that I made, as unhealthy as they were, they gave me more empathy and more understanding for the struggles, whether it's a same-sex attraction or an opposite-sex attraction. We struggle with those temptations, and we make a moral choice. Will we get involved in an unhealthy sexual relationship, or will we grow and be strengthened through it? And I've realized that the struggles that people have, sexual struggles that they have, are not just there. It's just not an easy answer. And so we make those decisions sometimes out of pain and grief and confusion. And by God's great grace, He redeems it. And so I've learned to be more empathic for people who are going through difficult sexual situations.
Yeah. Your story also includes time in what we might call legalistic, if not even cultish, churches. You know, your story could be explored in so many different angles. How might your story be different without that kind of legalistic spiritual influence in your life, do you think?
Oh, that's a great question. And people say that to me now, well, that was almost a cult. But when we were in it, the thing that we learned to study Scripture, I have to say that, the gift of learning community and learning to study Scripture. we got a little sidetracked, and it really wasn't in doctrine. It was in our practice that we began to...
Yeah, actually, just describe what that church was like, just for folks.
It was a small church we raised our families together. We moved out into the country. We lived close to Cleveland, Ohio. We moved out into the country. We raised our children together. We had church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evenings. We were very separated from the world. When people say to me, well, you know the music from the 60s and the 70s, and I say, no, I don't. I was out in the country raising my children, baking bread. I don't know any of that music. I missed a whole couple of generations of music. Didn't read the newspaper, and we were separated from the world. We thought we were right. We thought everybody else who didn't agree with us was going to hell. I mean, that's where it gets pretty cultish. And God delivered us out of that, delivered us out of it. And I must say, though, in the last 2 or 3 years, I have regained some relationships with those people because we love God, we love the Word, we love Jesus. We just have some different practices. But we were founded in the Word, I have to say. It's just we got way off on the practice. We had to be baptized in our church, and then we were in the line of John the Baptist Church.
Wow.
Pretty far out.
Wow. Well, we're talking to Nancy Hayes. She's the author of this book, The Truth Comes Out, and quite an amazing story she tells within it of so much loss and grief. I want to move now to some of the lessons that you learnt through all of this thing. I mean,
okay.
You've learnt so many things. And I just think you lost a son in an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter had a high-profile homosexual affair. Another daughter, Abigail, went into prostitution for a time. None of these are things that would be part of a mother's dreams for her children. What have you learned about coping with broken dreams?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. I guess this is what I would say that I've learned about God through broken dreams. You probably know, I'm a psychotherapist, so I work with clients who have broken dreams also. Last night, talking to a couple who had just had their second miscarriage, a huge loss of a dream for them. And what I've learned is that if God is going to fulfill his purpose in our lives, and we don't know what that is, I mean, we know according to Scripture, there are certainly some things spelled out. We're to live in holiness, and we're to live in the Word, in obedience to the Word. But as far as the specifics, we don't know how God is going to work those things out in our lives. However, what else we know from Scripture is that the men and women in Scripture, Hebrews 11, the faith chapter that talks about the difficulties that people went through, they did not have an easy life, and it didn't ever seem to get easy for them. And so my theory, looking at my life and the lives of believers that I know right here in Chicago and in Scripture and my clients, that if God is going to fulfill his purpose in our life, a meaningful, profound purpose, we are going to have a difficult life because it's very clear in Scripture. We learn obedience through suffering, just like Jesus did. If we think it's going to be an easy life, we're sadly mistaken. Isn't that your experience?
Well, absolutely. The greatest times of growth in my life have been through the greatest times of pain and confusion.
And it's not necessarily in the moment, as you referred to. You know, I walked away from the Lord for a few years. Was he not refining me even then? Yes, he was, but it didn't really seem like it. And I'm sure people thought, when is Nancy ever going to get her act together again? But God continues to use the Spirit to quicken the Word in our lives, I think.
Yeah. Also, I mean, your husband, you know, had this double life on you for 25 years of marriage. What has your life experience taught you about trusting people then?
Oh, especially trusting men.
Yeah.
It's not easy. That's another place where I can be very empathic with others when they've been hurt in relationships especially, and it's difficult to dive into another relationship. It makes sense to me. And yet, when I teach about trust, when I'm talking to couples in couples counseling, and they're working on trust, I say you build trust one sentence at a time, one episode at a time.
Mm.
If the wife says, okay, I will pick up the children at 3:00 today, although I forgot all week long, and then you just trust her, take her at her word that she will do it, if the husband says, I'm going to be home at 6 o'clock or whatever, that he will do it, and you just trust one sentence at a time, one day at a time. We grow in trust, I think, Sheridan.
Yeah. What have you learned about revealing yourself to somebody else? Your history has been about your family background. Don't talk, don't ask questions. You know, the husband or the father's will is it. No discussion entered into. What have you learned then about the appropriate discussing of life issues with other people and who to do that with, when to do it with?
First time after almost 10 years that I said the words, my husband died of AIDS. It was at a woman's lunch at Moody Church in Chicago, and I was giving my testimony, and the woman, Mary Welchel, who was hosting, said, you can say, she knew my story. She said, you can say as much or little as you want to. And I just, all of a sudden, there I said it. My husband died of AIDS. And after, as soon as I finished, several women came up to me, and no one else had a husband who died of AIDS. But they told me about their daughter who was a prostitute or their son who was in jail or their husband who had shot himself. And what I realized in that moment is that when I became vulnerable, as difficult as it was, and I said it with tears, seemed to provide and create the environment for other people to share their broken heart. And I think that's really valuable. Of course, as a therapist, that's part of my work, is to listen to people's stories. But most people want to tell their story if they know someone will listen and someone cares.
That's a good point.
I'm committed to that. Right now, that's one of my commitments, is that I'm wanting to dialogue with people. I want to, especially in the homosexual community, which is where my focus is right now, I want to hear the stories. I want to hear what happened in their lives, and I just want to listen. And people want to tell me their stories because they know I've done everything. I mean, I've sort of gone through it all, so they don't have much hesitation. And I think that's the value of sharing. It does take discernment. But once Anne came out and our family was pretty exposed, I realized that really we didn't have many secrets. I mean, not that everybody in the world knows our story, but a lot of people do. And so I really didn't have anything to gain by pretending it didn't happen to me. And God began to refine my story and refine my life, I think, Sheridan.
Yeah, yeah. Nancy Hache is our guest on Open House. Nancy, the lessons that you've learned, what about relating to the homosexual community? I mean, that is something you've had quite a transformation of heart about over the years, too.
Oh, it is. I cannot believe what God is doing in my heart. I hardly know how to speak about it because it sounds so extreme for me, but he has given me such a heart for people, for the individuals in the gay community, men and women. I am longing to talk with them, just as I said. I want to sit. I want to hear their stories. Just last week, I was at a party. This was such a wonderful experience for me, and one of the caterers was obviously a gay man, and I went up after dinner and I just said, thanks for all your help. And he said, oh, no, thank you. And I said, thank you for what? And he said, well, thank you for all you do to love people like me. I live in Chicago. He lives in Phoenix, Arizona. And I thought, it made tears come to my eyes. I thought, oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. You have worked that love in me so that I don't even know how he knew what I was doing. And usually if any gay people know I work with some organizations, they think they don't like me at all.
Yeah.
So it was such a blessing to me. And I just wanted, we just talked as long as we could the rest of the evening. I just wanted to hear his story. He says he's a Christian. He wants to be in a faith community. I just wanted to sit down right there and listen and listen and listen to him. That is about the furthest thing from anything I could have ever imagined in my life doing, Sheridan. He is just, this is the work of God in my heart. That's all I can say. It is definitely a work of God because it's not something I would choose. I used to think that all the pain was on my side. And what I've learned as I've listened to stories is there is so much pain in people who are struggling with coming out, struggling with talking to their families about it. There's so much pain. And just learning the abuse that they've suffered in their family sometimes, worst of all, at the church, those are all things that began to soften my heart. And so I encourage people to get informed, sit sit down, have a dangerous dialogue with someone that they think they would never have talked to, and just listen to their story and get the human side of it. We're commanded to love. God so loved the world. You know, it's not divided into homosexual and heterosexual. Yeah. He loved the world. We have to love. We must love them if we're going to represent Jesus. We're yes. supposed to be known by our love. So I really, you can tell I'm up on my soapbox.
Yes, you're passionate on this
Chicago.
One. but the love that you're talking about, you don't mean endorsement. You're meaning love in the midst of it.
I mean absolutely love in the midst. Just the same way that Jesus loved us in the midst of our stuff.
Yeah.
You know, thinking me, I'm walking away from the Lord. I spent almost 10 years away from the Lord. Did he still love me? Absolutely. Did it look like it, or did it look like I cared? Not to most people. But of course he loved me in it. And I had one friend who loved me. I had people who cared for me, but I had one friend who spoke to me about Scripture and still loved me. And that's what I think we must show, the love of Christ, or we'll never make any inroads into anybody's life.
Yeah. Nancy, thanks for sharing your heart tonight, and thanks for sharing your passion. It's certainly there.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. It's such an honor to talk with you. Thank you.
Oh, well, it's an honor to talk with you. That's Nancy Hache. I mean, the surname you probably associate if you've just joined us halfway through our chat with Nancy, but she's the mother of the well-known actress Anne Hache. But she's had quite a history with her husband of 25 years, dying of AIDS, all the other things that she's been through. They're all documented in this book called The Truth Comes Out. It's published by Regal Books.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.